Hi, welcome back to The Essentials of Demand Generation. I'm Alex Sessoms, and I'm here with Chantel Gascoigne. In the third part of our series on social media, we're going to be talking specifically about how to use social media for marketing. Okay, Chantel, we've talked a lot about social media, growing our network, and now we're ready to market. What are the things that we should be thinking about?
Well, as always, you want to start with a plan. And the first part of the plan is taking stock of what you already have. A big part of social media is content, and you might be surprised how much content you actually have to start from. Look and see if you have any how-to guides, any videos, any white papers or case studies that are lying around. And if you have any of that stuff that's existing currently, you don't have to stop there. You can take a case study that you've done and actually pivot it and make a few versions of content with it by recording a quick video like we are right now, or maybe writing a blog that summarizes some of the high points, or even making a slideshare document out of it and a PowerPoint presentation that you can upload. So you can really make that content work hard for you, but you want to know what you're starting with. And then the next step from there is to figure out which channels do you really want to go for? What are your different locations and properties going to be? Do you have a website for your company that you're going to use as part of that mix? Is that where you're going to drive traffic? And then which social networks do you want to use in order to accomplish that?
Great, so just really being thoughtful and strategic on the onset, making sure that I'm leveraging things that I might have already created in different ways.
Yeah.
Great, so you mentioned the importance of contributing to content on a regular basis and keeping things fresh and up to date. How can we get organized from the start and make sure that we're being thoughtful in terms of keeping that content fresh?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this segment could almost have been called plan, 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 because it comes back to making a plan. And in the social media and content world, we call that an editorial calendar. So this is a really useful tool for you. It does not have to be complicated, where you say, you know, every Monday we're gonna do a marketing Monday. So I'm gonna find content that's related to marketing that I'm gonna share. Or every Thursday we're gonna do a recap Thursday. So I'm gonna find really great articles from across the internet in our industry, and I'm gonna package them all up and share them out on a regular basis. This will help you kind of know what's coming so you don't have a lot of fire drills or last minute shuffles to kind of get the content together. That way you can create stuff in batches almost and then kind of publish it out across the month.
Great, and I know here at Microsoft, you manage our content calendar, and it actually makes it really easy for different people in the organization to actually plug into that if they have something interesting to say,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So maybe that's a great idea for our partners as well.
It really
is. Just let the other people in the company know about it if they want to contribute to it.
Yeah, and that's a great way to make sure that you've got that regular content because, I mean, for me, I run out of ideas and things to create on my own a lot of times, and so it's really great when we've got people on our team who come to me and say, hey, I know that you do a lot of partner spotlights. I've got a great partner for you. Can I help contribute? And so that's a good way to get that regular content on your different platforms.
Yeah, I think that's good advice because we hear a lot of partners who say, you know, I'm the sales guy. I'm wearing all of these different hats. I don't necessarily maybe have time to create all of this different content, so maybe they have different people at the company who can contribute to that. So let's talk about the different types of social media and which vehicles are best for what.
So let's start with blogs. That's one of the easier places to get started because when you have a blog, you can take that content and share it across the rest of your platforms. So blogs are really great for search engine optimization. It's frequently updated, and so it's going to help your website stay relevant in all of the different algorithms that they've got out there. Another great thing to use your blogs for is for your original content, establishing that thought leadership point of view, but also pulling content from across the internet that might be interesting, and then adding your point of view to it is another great way to go. You probably don't want to completely republish somebody else's content. That's called plagiarism, but that's okay as long as you submit, you know, and add your personal point of view and your value to it and reference where it's coming from, then that's going to help with the cross-linking and the search engines really look for that as well.
So when you talk about republishing content, you mean don't publish a white paper on my site and you know, represent it as my own opinion or
exactly,
my own.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
But I can share something that someone else has said and, you know, check out this article by Chantel.
Yep.
Here's what I love about it. Make sure you leverage these things.
Add your point of view and your value. I mean, when you're consulting with your customers, your point of view and what you have to add to it, that's what your gold is, right? That's your money. And so with blogs, you wanna do the same thing. Even if you're helping them get access to that great information, you wanna make sure that your special touch is on it as well.
How about your website? This is basically the digital home for your company, right?
Yep, absolutely. So this is gonna have a lot more static content, but this is where you really wanna make sure that you've got all the details about your products and your offerings and your company that a potential customer would wanna know. So once you pull them in with that great thought leadership content on your blog and they are on board and they wanna work with you, They're going to want specific answers, and that's what your website is for. It's also a great place to include your call to actions, your very specific call to actions, that you can kind of move them along in that buyer journey. It's also a place that people really use as a landing place for blogs, for any email messaging you might be sending out, and you can always drive traffic back to your website and with social media as well.
Okay, so what about Facebook and LinkedIn? How do we decide which one to use? Should we use both? Should we use one sometimes? What should I do?
Yeah, I mean, they are both a little bit different. They're both really great for building your brand. So this is a place where you want to, for example, on Facebook, that's where you can build a little bit more of your personality as a company. A company that only posts about their products all the time isn't going to be very interesting. And so Facebook is a great place to add that personal touch and that human touch. LinkedIn is also a great place to build your brand because it's one of the first places that people go to learn more about your company. And so having a really strong profile there and also having a showcase pages for your different products is going to be really useful. And having photos is really great because I know there's a lot of people out there who really respond better to images and that kind of visual stimulation. And so using photos on both platforms is going to be great.
And you can link off to both Facebook and LinkedIn from each of your profiles, right?
You can, yes. So in all of your profiles, you should make sure you're linking to every property, including your website.
So specifically thinking about LinkedIn, I think you've given really good advice on Facebook and LinkedIn, but I think it's important to differentiate between the two. Tell me a little bit more specifically about LinkedIn and how I should think about leveraging that platform versus Facebook.
So in one of our other segments, we talked a little bit about how when people go to LinkedIn, they go with a purpose typically. And so having those company pages and showcase pages really well developed there is going to be really important. Sometimes the purpose they're going there with is to find a new job. And so using the job postings on LinkedIn is really great as well to help attract that really high quality talent to your company. It's also such a useful tool for building your kind of your lead generation and prospective clients. So by using their search mechanisms, you can kind of find people and reach out to them and try and connect with them. There's this really great thing that we all love on LinkedIn, where if you view somebody's profile, you can typically see who's viewed it, which sometimes we get annoyed with, but it's actually a really great tool on LinkedIn for a business because you can go look at somebody's profile and then they'll see your face and remember that they should probably email you back about that great business deal.
So I should just go click on people's profile to make sure that they remember to call me?
You know, it's a good way to get, it's a light touch reminder to get in
touch with
someone.
Not bad. So now let's move on to Twitter. So this is the third platform that we discussed earlier in our video series. How do I think about Twitter? Very specific. And how do I think about it differently from using Facebook than which you just discussed on LinkedIn?
Yeah. And this is a channel where building your brand is still part of what you're doing, but again, position yourself as a thought leader. This is a place where you're providing a service for your customers. And that service is that you're curating really great content for them and answering questions that they maybe didn't even know that they had. And when you do that and you position yourself as that expert, then when it is time for them to make a decision about what business they want to go with, you're the one that they already have that trust established with and who they already know, you know your stuff when it comes to it. So that's the way that I think Twitter is one of the best pieces that you can do. It's also, again, a really great way to drive traffic to a website or to a blog or to that other content that you're creating because people do use it as a newsfeed.
And finally, moving on to video sites, why should these be in the mix? How should we be thinking about these differently? So YouTube's a great example. How do I think about YouTube versus the first three platforms we just discussed?
Yeah, and YouTube is a place where you've got that sticky content. People love videos. It's not as easy to target who is seeing what, but by using the right keywords and all of that, you can have a better chance of getting your content in front of people when they're looking for those specific answers to questions that they have. You want to make sure that your branding is consistently represented across all of your videos. They may never end up on your company's page where all those videos are housed. They may only see one video at a time. So every video should have your branding in it, and every video description should include a link back to your website. This is a really great place for training, for how-to videos, and it has a lot higher rate of sharing than other platforms do just because of the stickiness of the content.
Yeah, people love to watch videos. It's a lot easier to consume them. And then just to point out one specific thing you mentioned, it's important to include a link back in the description that you write up the video, right? So people can get back to your website.
Yep.
So more and more we're hearing about paid advertising for social media marketing. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So more and more these search engines are changing their algorithms. So it's more and more difficult to get your content in front of people without adding paid behind it. You want to use paid the same way that you do a lot of your other channels. Know who your audience is and who it is that you want to target, and be very, very specific in which content you want to put in front of them. But there's a lot of really great options out there for paid across all of the social media channels now, and you want to make sure that you're including that in your overall mix.
And if I'm just getting started today, do I need to be thinking about budgeting for paid advertising right away from the start?
You do, definitely. Like I said, more and more, especially when you're a smaller company that might not have the same kind of reach that other bigger, more established companies might have, it's going to be essential for you to use paid to get in front of your audience. But your budget can start out small. It doesn't have to be huge. That is one thing that's nice about social. And you can start out as simple as just, you know, paying to promote a post to a specific audience. And that can be as, you know, inexpensive as $50 or as expensive as you'd want it to be.
And so just one quick follow-up. If I'm working at a partner company, and maybe I'm not the owner of the company, but I'm thinking, and I'm trying to take these tips and think about this. A lot of partners give us feedback that I didn't see results on it right away, or I couldn't track this results of, you know, we allocated, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 to paid advertising. How should I be positioning that in terms of when I can expect results from those advertisements?
Yes. And that's definitely a challenge that everybody in the social media industry faces, because our platforms are oftentimes at the top of that funnel. It's hard to track all the way down to the end conversion, but a really great tool to use is link tagging. So if you use, there are a lot of sites out there, like Bitly is one of them. We use Sprinklr personally, and you can add those tags and they help you at least see how many clicks you're driving. So then that way later on, you can tell your boss, well, you know, this was our first go at it, and we already got this many clicks over onto the website, and we can attribute that much traffic to our website from our social media efforts, and that's a good way to kind of get your foot in the door to do more.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, social media isn't going away. More and more of our competitors are going to be using it, so it's important, even if you maybe don't see a ton of clicks right away, it's important to kind of tweak and optimize what you're doing rather than just abandon it altogether.
Absolutely. It's a muscle that you have to build.
So we learned a lot of great things today. Just to cover off on a quick review, it's important to get organized with a social editorial calendar. So make sure that that's widely known to your company so that other people can plug into that. If there's content that already exists today, make sure that you're leveraging that first before you go ahead and create new content. Make sure that you create and publish regularly and consistently. It's important for people to see that fresh thought leadership coming out regularly from your different social media platforms. Use each site for their best purpose. So Chantel mentioned the difference between LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and other social media platforms. Make sure that you're really conscious about using them each for their intended purpose. And then finally, use all of them to drive traffic to your blog and your website. Make sure that you link back and forth from each of them. So if you are using LinkedIn, make sure that it links to your Facebook profile and vice versa. And so on behalf of Chantel, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for using social media for marketing. And we hope that these tips and tricks benefit you in your practice.